you can't say you're still, because yes, I am still doing the show notes. The end, no joke.
What do you want me to say? We're still doing them?
Oh, we're yeah, it has to be we, and then I have to zing you.
Okay, all right.
Do you understand how zings work?
I think so.
Yeah. Here we are. Hello and welcome to episode 105 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tubingen, Germany, and with me, as always, is
Adam in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada.
What is going on, Adam?
Everything is going on, Al.
Good. Hey, let's all take turns stopping hitting our mic.
Oh, did I do it?
I don't know. Okay, I'm gonna blame you. I'm gonna blame you.
I was rolling my chair inward towards the mic, so I sounded awesome.
Great. Let's just assume the weather is the same in both places, and we'll move on.
It sounds good.
Okay, great.
We just saved like 11 minutes.
I know. I'm just going to insert last week's weather section in there. Just duplicate Perfect. It.
Do you have that in the show notes? Talk weather?
No. No. That's just completely... always off the cuff.
Okay, so I big surprise. I think people know this already by the time it got posted, because I put a picture up on Facebook, and that's how you get to people, apparently.
That's how I found out.
Yeah, so, yeah, I didn't tell you because I wanted to surprise you,
Yeah, I got to find out on Facebook, and we're besties.
Yeah, that's the way it goes, buddy. It's trying to make for authentic podcasting.
Good point.
But while you were sleeping in Germany, I was in Canada buying my new camera, the Canon 6D.
Uh-huh.
So that's the big news. And I had said to you, and I think I'd said to my wife and other people too, I think I even mentioned it on the podcast, that I was wanting that camera, but I was going to wait for the price to come down.
Correct.
Okay. So I've been scouring the internet to try to find a low price because, you know, nowadays everybody kind of price matches, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I've been scouring the internet looking on, you know, there's sites dedicated to this where they track prices and they'll tell you who's got the lowest price. And, you know, so this is all very easy to access now. So I've been doing this, you know, relentlessly, really hoping to find this price. And then in my head, I had decided that it was going to be, I wanted to have about a $200 price job. I figured that was reasonable, and I don't know why I decided that. It's a, you know, the camera retails for $2,100. But in my mind, I said, you know, if I can get it for $1,899, I'll buy it. Okay. So that's kind of in my head what I went in. So today I'm actually on the ferry going to Victoria. I was taking my daughter over to Victoria and taking her to, you know, visit her grandma and grandpa, and then you know they were gonna play with her, and then I came back on the ferry because they wanted to have her to themselves for a weekend. Okay, so not really part of the story, but kind of why I was on the ferry alone. And on the ferry to Victoria, they have wireless, so you actually have internet access. So I had about an hour and a half ferry trip to just scour the internet looking for different things and ways that I was going to get a deal on my camera.
Instead of enjoying the most beautiful outdoor aquatic area you could.
Yeah, well, I've seen it a few times and it was good weather. So there wasn't much of there was no scenery. So it was fine. Okay,
I can understand that. I've made that trip many times. And while it is beautiful, after a while, it's like, all right, where's the buffet?
Yeah. So anyway, so I'm on the internet, and for those in Canada anyways, they know Future Shop. So I was on the Future Shop website, and I was just kind of, you know, looking around, and this is still, they've kind of held over Boxing Week. This is how desperate some of these electronic stores have gone. And it's this, you know, first it was Boxing Day, we talked about on the last episode, then it became Boxing Week, and now it's Boxing Week held over, all these sales. Wow. And then I notice on the front page of their website, it says, all digital cameras, 10% off lowest ticketed price. Okay. So I said, oh my God, because I know nobody has this camera on sale.
That is $10 more than your $200 drop.
Exactly. I mean, you did the math there. That's great. But I saw this and I thought, wow, that's you click through and it doesn't go to, you know, it has a link and you click through and it doesn't go to anything. And then when I searched the 6D, of course, it's just the $2,100 price. And so I think this is all weird, but it clearly says on the front page of the website, 10% off all digital cameras. No exclusions, no little asterisks or anything. Mm-hmm. So I think, okay, great. I'm going to go into the store and I'm going to pursue this, right? Because in my head, I'm thinking something's wrong. They've made a mistake or something, but it doesn't matter to me. It's like, you know, they put this on the website. I better be able to get it, right?
Correct.
So I went to Future Shop today. And then first thing, I walk through the doors, go to the camera section, big sign that says, you know, 10% off. And then it says excludes Canon 6D, Canon 5D Mark II. They didn't actually sell the Mark III. And then a few other high-end DSLRs that were excluded. And I said, oh, of course there's an exclusion. And then I go to the guy in the photography department. I say, hey, listen, I came down here. I read on the website. It's on the front page that says all digital cameras 10% off, lowest ticketed price. Okay, so the guy doesn't this doesn't compute to the salesperson.
Did that
right?
Did the guy wake up at that point?
No, he didn't really seem to know a whole lot, and oh, what, this is on the website, and he gets hung up on the fact that when he clicks through and he looks for the 6D, it says $2,099. So he says, oh, you know, of course there's exceptions, and no, that's not right. And so I show him on the website. He goes and gets his manager, who, it's funny, the manager to me was about 17 years old. I kid you not. The manager was 17 years. He might have been 18. The sales guy was like in his early 50s.
Oh,
and
no.
The manager is 17 years old. Okay.
Could you,
so
could
not
you
that,
imagine?
Not that that means anything, but it's just, it was kind of ironic.
Could you imagine your dad working for Justin Bieber?
That's what it seemed like.
Oh, no.
So the guy came in and he said, and the funny thing was, he said, no, there's exclusions here. And I said, listen, you might want to check, you know, the website, because there's no exclusions on the website. It just says all DSLRs 10% off. So then he checks through. Okay, nobody's talking to me at this point. The two of them are over there. They're talking. I can see both, like, the manager is quite angry. He comes back to me after a minute and he's like, we can't sell it for lower than $2,100. He's like, that's the absolute lowest price, which I know is true because everyone's selling it for the same thing.
Right.
And he says, but you know what? We'll give it to you for $19.99, right? So we'll give you $100 off. And I say, no, I mean, I can do the math. That's not 10%, right? I said, it's clearly on your, I mean, that might be a mistake, but guess what? I'm doing you a favor. I'm telling you that you guys have screwed this one up, right?
Right.
And, you know, I'm pursuing this 10%. And so anyways, they go back. 5 minutes later, I'm standing off to the side. 5 minutes later, the manager just puts his head down, does not even make eye contact with me, and then stomps off, right? And I think, what does this mean? Does this mean I'm going to get the camera for the price? And then the other guy looks over at me, and he says, yeah, he said to do it. So again, they put it through, and then I spend another 10 or 15 minutes for this guy to figure out how to actually get the discount. And, you know, he needs another guy to come in, which was essentially the manager, to punch in the secret code so that it allows me to get the $200 off.
Right.
And bottom line, I walked out with my 10% discount and the 18 whatever 79 price tag. So I'm pretty sure I've got the best deal going for the retail on the 6D.
And without having to say to them, do you know who I am?
No, but the thing that was so odd, and I was so aggravated because I came into the store, I had the camera, I'm super excited, I've got the camera, and I was so aggravated because I was totally made to feel like somehow I was in the wrong here. Like, on the front page of your website, it says all digital cameras 10% off, lowest ticketed price. And somehow I'm the bad guy.
If only there was a word in the English language instead of all that would connote the fact that there was most digital cameras.
Yeah, or even, you know what, the exclusions that were on that sign, why the heck wasn't that on the front page of the website?
No, I'm fully on board with that, with your side of this. Don't put all. And even if there are exceptions, don't put all except for this.
Yeah, and you know what, I would have been totally okay if they had done the exceptions, but they didn't. They made the mistake, And now, and it wasn't like afterwards the guy said, you know what, you know, this it was a mistake. We will honor this. It was done like I was the jerk.
I'll tell you what.
You know, I was mad. I was mad.
This April, when you file your taxes, tell the government, this is all the money I made, except for this over here.
Yeah, exactly.
See what they do. See how they feel. I'm sorry, Mr. Schwartz. You're out of luck.
Yeah.
Yeah, good for you for getting that then.
Left a bad taste in my mouth with Future Shop, but the camera so far is leaving a good taste in my mouth.
That's that's good to know.
I haven't eaten it yet, but I'm thinking about it.
Just the strap, because why not? You could replace it. But did they try to pull any of the extended warranty?
Absolutely. After they realized that I was completely like, you know, getting them on this one, yeah. They two or three times, you want the kit? And I'm like, no, just the body. Do you want the nope, just the body. I said, and then the third time he asked me about something, I don't even remember what it was. Any other accessories? I said, no, just the camera body. That's all, yeah. I came for. And then eventually it was through. And a second guy actually approached me after the sale was even, are you sure you don't need any? And I was done. I was mad.
It's like a scene from Goodfellas.
Yeah, it is.
Sure,
it's
be funny. Shame if something happened to your car, sir.
And I just, you know, you gotta wonder what the you know, like the commission is based on the camera body. He didn't seem too thrilled about selling a $2,000 camera, but you know, they sell me the extended warranty or a UV protector, and he must make like $1,000 on a UV protector because they are so into, you know, yeah. Those the accessory upsells.
We have talked about that in the past. That is where their profit margin is. Not just the commission. I don't even know if they work on commission anymore. It's hard to say.
In Future Shop, I'm 90% sure they do.
Really?
Best Buy doesn't. They advertise that they don't. And for those of you in the U.S., Future Shop is actually owned by Best Buy, as far as I know. Same company. But they like to keep the Future Shop name here in Canada because people who are loyal customers still use Future Shop and maybe don't recognize that it's the same company.
Right. Which I've been in. Have you ever been into the Future Shop, like out in the valley, out in like Abbotsford?
Oh yeah, no. Well, not Abbotsford, Langley though.
Yeah, I wouldn't. Well, I've been to the one in the. I went to the Future Shop in Langley, and it was 1995. No,
what was
the year?
Oh,
I should have said 2001. Because everything would
have been funnier.
That usually gets a huge laugh.
Okay, I have one more rant though. This is. I'm still angry though. I'm still angry this minute.
I gotta cut out all my failed jokes.
Okay, listen to this.
Okay, go ahead.
So I get the camera, right? I'm so excited. Charge the battery, and first thing I want to do is I want to test the ISO on this camera because again, that's one of the main reasons I wanted this camera because my camera is not good in shooting in skating or in a hockey arena, which I spend a lot of time. Okay. So we had friends in a hockey tournament. I thought, perfect. I'm gonna go watch one of their games and I'm gonna see full frame with the 72-200 and this camera that, you know, does ridiculous ISOs, what it looks like. Mm-hmm. So I go to I charge the battery, I go to the rink, I take a bunch of photos, and I'm super pleased looking at the back of the LCD. I think everything's going great. I'm taking everything in RAW on 10,000 ISO. Okay, so I'm shooting the F4, 10,000 ISO, and that way I get a shutter speed of like 1/800 or 1/1000th of a second. Everything's sharp, looks great. Get home, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to import these photos. Guess what?
No card.
Guess what happens? No. Of course there's a card. I mean, the camera would have told me there wasn't a card.
I don't know.
The camera's too new. Aperture does not recognize the RAW files yet for my version of Aperture. So, of course, what do I have to do? I've got to update it, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so I got to update it. Go to update it. Can't update Aperture until I have the newest version of the operating system.
Oh, boy. That's...
Oh, I was so choked. And so now I have to download Mountain Lion, which, of course, because we were going to podcast and the download was taking too long, I had to stop that. So I can't even look at or edit any of the pictures. As soon as you click on them, it's just they're not recognized.
Right.
I could see them then when they're getting imported, but as soon as I double click on them, it just goes to a not happy it's an exclamation point telling me that this is not recognized. So I'm very choked at Apple for doing this. I can't. You mean to tell me I can't update software that I bought on a different operating system without getting a new operating system?
I think they're telling you that.
Yeah, that's I mean, I love Apple most of the time, but not happy with that.
I'd like to say they don't do this on purpose, but they probably do.
Oh, absolutely they do.
If you think about this whole upgrade path, continuous upgrade path everybody's on, you can see this. You can see that this happening.
Absolutely. Yep. So there you go. There's I think everything that I'm upset about. So I have this fantastic camera.
Yeah.
And I can't edit the photos. And I didn't take RAW and JPEG. I just took RAW.
Okay. Listen. There's a stopgap method here for you until you get Mountain Lion.
Okay.
On the disc that came with your camera.
Yeah. I did read that, and people say, and I guess that's what I'm going to do in the meantime. But I'm just so used to doing everything in Aperture. So.
Yep. Yeah. No, I hear you. But if just because my I'm glad you mentioned this before you did the upgrade. Really can't stress this enough. Back everything up.
Yeah.
Beforehand.
Which I fully intend to do.
Yeah. Because I know people who have been burned on that, and all of a sudden if the photos are missing, or even far less impactful than that is like when you have all your songs in iTunes go missing.
Oh yes, would hate for that to happen.
Yeah, it's less of a issue than your photos, obviously, but unless you're a recording artist, and then it's different. But and those are the masters.
I do have everything backed up, so I should be fine.
So there you go. That's great. So I was going to get an update on the 5D. My show notes here said get an update on the 5D, but I'll just cross that off now.
Yeah. So there's no update there.
What did you think? What were your initial reactions to physically using the camera? Like, it feels different.
Yeah. It's heavier. The grip is bigger. It feels awesome. The grip is awesome. LCD is super, super clear.
Mm-hmm.
I loved it. I didn't have anything bad to say. Everybody, all the reviews, and I've read literally everything that's come out on the 6D. So I've read it all, and most of the criticism, some people like it and some people criticize it, but the places that it's criticized is the autofocus system. That's the main criticism. It's still just an 11 point now with 61 points or 39 points or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And just the one cross type, like the Mark II.
Right.
That's the big criticism. Now the cross type that it does have is the best cross type on any camera right now.
Right.
So the center point on that camera is phenomenal. And then, you know, reading some of the reviews, they love it. And if you're from the, you know, the Alan Attridge School of Photography and everything is center point like it is for me.
Mm-hmm.
I had no issues, and I was shooting hockey, so fast moving with an unstabilized lens. And from what I could see on the LCD, I mean, almost everything was sharp. So we'll see when I actually get them in. I expect there's going to be some misses, just the nature of trying to focus with any camera that's unstabilized and moving around like that. But I was very pleased with how the servo was doing and how fast it was. And certainly if action was stopped, I mean, everything was in focus. So
sure.
I didn't have any issues whatsoever. And my first thoughts on the ISO, and again, it'll be different when I get to blow up the pictures in full res, but at 10,000, I mean, it looks better than my T2i does at 1600, and not just a little bit better at 10,000, a lot better at 10,000.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, for me, you know, to be able to, I couldn't do that before. I couldn't do that at all with that 70-200. And also with the crop, it just found that it was almost always too tight. And with the 70-200 on there and standing kind of at the side of the rink taking shots, I mean, I was only good from the center line in. Like, I wasn't shooting anything at the other end because it was too far away, even at 200 millimeters.
Right.
So well, it's a definite different perspective, that's for sure.
Yep, that's for sure. And what about having the back wheel?
Love it. Again, don't really know the ins and outs yet because it's totally different, the setup. And again, I basically got this thing, charged the battery, went to the rink and shot. So I was all out of sorts, like just in, because the button layout's different. And again, there's enough difference there that it will take me a couple of days to really get comfortable.
Oh, sure.
But there is a back button focus already kind of laid out there for you, which is nice.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just an autofocus button that's on the back, so you can either do the half press or you can have the other thumb button that's already designated. So I really like that.
Nice.
And it's kind of got like a little joystick, not just really joystick, a little a pad along with the wheel. And again, I'm finding that it just takes some getting used to using the wheel for everything, because I did not have that on my last camera.
Right. That's the one thing I miss when I pick up like your old camera or someone else's, you know, lower end camera. I miss having that wheel because it's kind of instinctful, if that's a word. Yeah, love having it.
And there's a lock button, a feature that I never thought anything of, but noticed how awesome it is right away. Is there's a lock button on the wheel. You know, you set your camera to manual, and then, you know, you put it in your bag and you take it out, and all of a sudden you think it's on manual, but it's not. It's on a program or something else.
Oh, yeah.
And so it locks it into place, which is awesome. So you actually have to depress the button to change that setting.
No, nice. Good thing. That's good thinking.
Just a smart little move.
That's happened to me 2 days ago. Nothing horrible, but it does happen. So,
yeah. So there's that. So again, I'm thinking at some point when I've used the camera a little bit more, I'll have more of an in-depth review of my own. But for right now, all signs point to awesome.
Great, a kid in a candy store at this point.
Oh yeah. If I can only get the pictures on my computer where I can see them, I'd be really happy.
The one downside, and I'm going to spit this out at you, is no more excuses.
No. This is not, it. Don't want them.
Don't need them.
Yeah.
Great. Well, besides that, what'd you shoot this week?
Just a few pictures at New Year's. So we did New Year's in Vancouver this year. It was kind of a staycation.
Right.
So.
Oh, no, we stopped using that.
No,
phrase.
No, I just used it, so. Yeah.
All right.
No, it's one of those words that I think if you say it enough, it'll grow on you, so keep saying it.
No, I'm not going to.
Okay, so we stayed in Vancouver for New Year's. Is that better?
Yeah, that's way better. The long way around.
And we did the New Year's at Robson Square, but the early version, like they had a 7 and a 9 before the real midnight ring-in. So we did the kid-friendly 7 o'clock version.
I can sort of, dragging my heels, get behind having the early countdown. I sort of understand it. What I don't get is having two of them.
I think it's a bit overkill. I think last year they had one. It was at 8 o'clock, and I think it had a really good turnout. And maybe they were thinking it would be better to split that crowd into two: the younger kids versus the older kids.
Because of the riots a couple years ago.
No, I don't think it was even the riots. I just think it was to make for, again, more family friendly for the younger kids to be able to see what was going on. You don't have a bunch of ignorant 11 and 12 year olds standing right in front of them. I mean, that's just my thought, because it was mostly younger kids. Like, I didn't see a lot of older kids at the 7 o'clock.
Right. That's for
and I think, and that made for, I think, a very easily accessible kind of show that was going on. They had a band going on, and they handed out, like, you know, the glow things and party favors and hats and everything. So it was kind of cute. But okay, so what do you think the most important thing to a 5-year-old would be for New Year's Eve? What do you think
for a 5-year-old?
Yeah, for a 5-year-old, what do they care about New Year's?
I don't know. I party favors.
I'll give you a hint. Countdown.
Oh, countdown.
It's the countdown. The countdown's the big deal. They're all okay, super excited.
Let me
then
ask you that.
We're going to count down.
How many practice countdowns did you do?
Several. I'd say at least 8.
Right.
Okay, so the countdown's the big thing. Guess what they didn't do at 7 o'clock?
Party favors.
Nope, they did that.
Okay, countdowns.
Countdown. They had the band leader come on. The organization was
a little
poor.
What do you mean? Your kids didn't do it, or the 7 o'clockers didn't do it?
They didn't organize it. Like, they came at 5 to 7. They handed out all the party favors, and so everyone's got their hats and their blowers. And then the band leader basically came on and was like, "Well, and in some places in the world, it's New Year's, so Happy New Year's." And
yeah,
that was
the
it.
Middle of the Atlantic.
Yeah, it was, you know what, no matter what, just count it down. I don't care if it's 8:08 or 7:08. If you said that we're going to do a 7 o'clock New Year's countdown, do the countdown. So in the audience, Lisa and Sarah started a countdown, which probably 20 or 30 people joined in on, and that was the big countdown for us.
You guys went rogue. That's awesome.
Well, yeah, I in retrospect, they had started it. I I would have loved to just really try to rattle the crowd and maybe start it from 20. And then by the time 10 rolled around, you'd have a big number of people doing it.
Good thinking.
But Lisa was all on board, and right off the bat, her and Sarah started going. So we did have a version of a countdown. Just a little disappointed. I thought that would have been obvious that, hey, let's get on the microphone and let's just start counting down from 20 or 15 or something.
Right.
I doubt we're the only ones disappointed by that.
Maybe their policy was come back at midnight.
Yeah, maybe. But I'm pretty sure they did it at 9.
But have you ever been to a nightclub or a bar on New Year's in days past?
Yes, I have.
They always do a countdown, and it's usually at like 12:40. You know, like they forget.
I don't remember that, but yeah. It's a different story when you're in the bar.
It is different, completely different. Like, yeah, I mean, my kids weren't as excited then.
Yes.
We were doing practice countdowns in the bathroom, but that's how that went. Yeah,
That's it.
I shot very little. I shot even less than that because we shot New Year's as well, but it was very, very calm. We didn't do the fake countdowns. We just put the kid, because, you know, she's one. What does she know?
Yeah.
She can only count to 100 anyway, so.
And backwards.
Well, yeah. I meant count down from 100. No, she can obviously go much higher than 100.
But, by fives.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. She's right now she's big into base 8. Anyways, I found that, like, it was after kind of like a hectic, not, I wouldn't say hectic, but like I shot a lot of photos during the Christmas season there with my dad being here and all that. I just took some time off of shooting. So there was a few shots on New Year's. For the photo challenge especially, that was what I was thinking. And then the other day, out of the blue, my daughter started playing with my tripod and setting it up and looking through the camera and stuff like that, which I was fascinated by.
Awesome.
So I took pictures. The weird part being is I never use my tripod, so I don't know where, you know. Maybe.
Just it's like an awesome piece of furniture.
It is, but except for she's actually using it properly.
Good. She's showing promise as a student.
But I've never showed her anything like that, so I'm just kind of weirded out by that.
Sarah has been drawing pictures, and whenever she draws me, of course she draws me with the bald, as she calls it. She draws my bald. Uh-huh. But she almost always draws me with a camera.
Did you tell her it has to be a bigger, better camera now?
Yeah, and you know what she said? She keeps telling my parents or anyone that she perceives might be getting me presents.
Yeah.
Is that Daddy needs a big expensive camera for Christmas? It has to be big and expensive. Yeah. She says. Yeah. So I've taught her well. And today Lisa actually got her a shirt. I guess she was clothes shopping for her or returning some of the things that didn't fit her, and she got a shirt, and it's all glittery and pink, but all the glittery pictures on it are all different cameras. How awesome is that?
Does it fit you?
No, I wish it did. That's what I said to Lisa. I'm like, wow, did they have one big enough for me? But
wow.
The answer was no. So I will take a picture of her in the shirt because it is awesome.
Let's get into the photo challenge.
Is there still time?
I don't know. We still have a show ahead of us here.
All right. Sorry, I was talky McTalkers.
I know. That's fantastic. No, I actually
went. We're at like 400 minutes already.
I went and got coffee at one point. Like down the street at the Starbucks. There's no Starbucks. All right. There's no Starbucks here. Don't look for it.
Okay.
Photo challenge. Because this week's topic I'm excited about, I think people should be excited about if we have time to get to it, is I want to talk about the pro job I did, the last one I did when I was in Canada.
Okay. I can't wait to hear about it.
People have been asking, hey, I want to hear more about those pro jobs.
Right.
And don't really care about the 6D, but all right, here we go. So photo challenge.
Yes.
Let's get that out of the way. I said party. Because I thought, hey, everybody's going to go to a New Year's party, and you know, you can snap whatever that party's going to be.
Right.
Like in the old days, it would have been a party, and now it's not really that. So why don't you go first? Well, you already mentioned what you did, so let's just dive into your photo.
Okay, I took a picture of my son at the New Year's celebration. He was a little bit of the Debbie Downer for a large chunk of the evening, and he was in his stroller. We had gotten him the glow necklace and the party blower, and he was in the stroller and he's holding it. And I thought, okay, he completely looked disinterested, and at one point, almost a little bit sad by the whole thing. But he's still gripping the two things, and I caught him in this moment where he's got them, and I'm thinking, I think most everybody can relate to a New Year's like this, where you're kind of like, you're at the party, you're like, I what do? I'm here, I got the stuff, I don't really want to be here. Do I hang around for midnight? Maybe it'll get better. Anyways, I sort of thought that this picture captured many a New Year's, I think, for myself, and maybe for a lot of other people as well. So anyways, that was him in the moment. And the exposure, all that other stuff, I don't think is that important. But, you know, we can talk about this is shot, I'll say it was shot with the 85 millimeter again. I just love that lens. And I knew it was going to be dark out. And there's no flash in this photo. So I needed the fast lens so that I could get enough light.
Yep.
And and with my T2i, because that's what this is taken with, this is pre-6D, I think this is a 1600 ISO. So you can guess the aperture for the EXIF Sudoku, whatever it's called.
You remember to do the EXIF Oku.
EXIF Oku, yes, there it is.
Oh, I'm glad you remembered. I was going to have to edit that out to make sure we got the EXIF Oku. So guessing shutter speed, is that what we're doing?
Sure. What did I give you? I didn't give you the aperture, though.
Oh, I think... Okay, no, didn't you? You just said 85.
I shot with the 85, so I gave you the focal length. Yeah. I gave you the ISO.
Okay.
I don't think I gave you... You might have to check the data, because I don't know where this photo is right now.
Yeah.
And I don't know what the shutter speed is, so...
Okay, so I'm going to say...
It's pretty slow. Like, I want to say it's like 150th or something.
Yeah. Okay, well, then we won't guess that then. Then we'll just go ahead and guess f1.8.
Okay.
Well, I think this that is a good photo. I like the look on his face. It is very funny.
And my favorite part of the photo is just that little bit of light that's kind of rim lighting the right side of his face.
Yeah.
And I had a few other pictures of him, different angles, him blowing the horn and stuff, but he looked too happy in them. So I like this photo because it was, it reminded me again a little bit more of New Year's past.
And plus New Year's to come for poor Jack.
Yeah. Yeah.
Get exactly. Used to it.
All right.
I've done that. I've been that guy, but usually it's after. It's like at 4 o'clock in the morning. I look up and I'm like, this isn't my bus stop. This isn't even my bus. Where am I? What is going on here?
All right, tell us about your picture.
Ours, well, as I told you before, I expected there to be a lot of fireworks here.
Right.
And there was. The Germans did not disappoint. They went hog wild. This is everybody. This isn't just like, okay, in the city, which everyone does congregate in the city, on one bridge, apparently. In town and just light it up, where it's just like, I wouldn't go there without safety goggles at this point. It's that crazy.
Okay.
But even in the suburbs, everybody brings firecrackers. And not just fireworks like you could legally buy at Halloween in Canada. It's the stuff that you'd have to go to Lummi Island to get.
Right, okay.
And so, so this is a friend of mine and his son. He was teaching his son to use firecrackers for the first time by himself.
Yeah, making sure that they were lit, and he was very close with his face.
Yeah. Well, this one, you can't see who's doing the lighting, but if you look really closely in the kid's hand, you can see that is a lighter. So he was doing the lighting himself.
Right. So he's not heading towards that lit firecracker. He's going away from it?
They are backing up. Yes.
Okay, that's good.
They are backing up, because that one's about to go.
It looks like he's going to pounce on it.
Yeah. It would have been fun if he just gave it a kick, just to see what would happen.
Right.
Where's this going to go? So
I tell us about the photo. I like it. I like a lot of rim lighting here, which I'm a big fan of.
Right. I kind of anticipated this was going to happen, so I brought one flash with me. I didn't really want to get too deep into taking a lot of photos on New Year's. I wanted to enjoy myself, but brought the one off-camera flash and parked it down the street, and basically knew full well that I would just do backlighting on this all day. Or all night, or for the 10 minutes I was going to shoot.
Right.
I had no intention of using it as a front light. I knew I'd get enough from the street light on the front to give us some sort of an image.
Yeah.
And then the back light would just kind of be fun. So the one downside is, I mean, the back light is very, very blue.
Yes.
And the street light is very, very orange, as you can see. So that makes a real difficult balance. But I think it works out in this case.
Yeah, it looks good.
So, Eggs of Oku, what should we go with on this one? First of all, I should try to remember what I shot with.
Yeah, what'd you shoot with?
Which lens? This is my crop sensor. It's my 40D, 30 mil lens.
Okay.
And use the flash there.
Okay.
So I'm going to say it was very dark. ISO was 1600. I'll give you that.
Okay.
And let's say, let's go shutter speed on both. Or no, you did shutter speed already. You already gave yours.
Yes.
Okay, so I shot mine at an F2, guess the shutter speed.
Okay.
There you go.
Am I supposed to guess? I'm not.
No. And okay. Last week's Exivoku was an underwhelming success. but we did have Brian from Great Falls. He did come in and guess pretty close.
Okay,
I forget.
But he didn't get it.
Well, no, I think technically he got mine. Technically,
mine was not, because I was a 1.8 in mine, and he did not guess that.
And he guessed a 2.8, I think.
I think he guessed a 2.8.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so that was off. Mine, I actually used a 50 millimeter lens. He guessed 30. But I didn't specify over there on that on Facebook that I used my crop sensor, or that I used my full frame. So if I had used my crop sensor, it would have been the equivalent of a 30. So I'm going to get a bang. He gets it.
Okay.
There you go. So that's it. Yeah, this photo challenge. Yeah, I win. Okay, moving on.
Okay.
This week's topic is an entire photo shoot in 5 minutes.
That's awesome.
Yeah, we better
just let it rip. I've talked enough, so I'm just gonna sit back and let you run with this.
Oh, good, because I was fearing any questions you might have.
No, I have zero questions
that might further the discussion. So I'm gonna, you know what we're gonna do is I'm going to this might be a part one, part two situation.
All right, give us part two.
No, I'm saying we're going to get a little ways into this, and this might carry over in the next episode.
No, I understood. I understood what you said. You don't have to clarify.
But you don't start with part two unless you're Quentin Tarantino.
I was just being a jerk. I was being a jerk.
Oh, good. Now I have the 6D. I just can swing my attitude around. I see. No, I get it now. Okay, so this week's topic is how to shoot an event. Is how I shot an event. This is a little more detail about one of my last jobs. And actually, I shot this the night before I left Vancouver to come back home here.
Okay.
And so, yeah. What do you want to know? No, I'm just joking.
What'd you do? What'd you do?
You. This is like a black tie event for one of my clients. Okay. And I told them I wasn't going to tell them say the name of the client.
Okay.
Which no real good reason otherwise, other than the fact that there's just nothing in it for anybody. There's no upside for them. There's nothing cool. I wish it was cool. Like, oh yeah, of course, this is CSIS, like the American version of the CIA or something, or the Canadian version. But it's not. It's nothing secretive or nothing. So we all good. You trust me on this one?
I trust you. Yeah. Okay. Go ahead. Okay. Fire away.
Anyway, so what they're having is they're basically their annual holiday party. And you shot with me last year.
Yeah.
At the same event. And so they hired me to come back. And it was sort of a last-minute job. Like they were considering hiring me, and I was in town. So it worked, you know, basically got the job a couple days before.
Right.
And since I'd been there last year and knew the venue very well, I wasn't, you know, I knew what to expect. And so ahead of time, I thought I kind of mapped out in my head what was going to happen. You know, where how I would approach this, where I'd put a flash, where how I would light the whole area. Find out the day before, it's actually at a different venue.
That's a big deal.
It's a big deal. I have the where it ended up. I've shot before. It's at the new convention center in Vancouver.
Yeah,
you've been there, right?
Once.
I recommend going inside and see. Have you been all around the convention area?
Yes, I have.
Awesome. It's so you know it's a beautiful, beautiful new facility.
Yep.
Overlooking the water at Cole Harbour there. Anyway, so it was a last minute thing, but I knew like there's going to be some challenges. Very high ceiling.
Okay.
Very, very. Now I'm going to attach a few photos, so you have an understanding of what we're looking at. So I walked back and snapped a few wide shots to illustrate. I knew full well we'd talk about this, just to illustrate the situation I found myself in.
Okay, I see. I'm looking at the photos. There are very high ceilings.
Not just high ceilings, but...
No, there's more than that.
If you look at the close-up of the ceiling, you'll see that it is a very dark ceiling.
Yes.
Because they have those sort of wood slats with the false ceiling in behind it.
Yep.
Which is all painted black. So that's going to be a problem. Where are you going to bounce your light?
Not off that.
Not off that. So all of a sudden, you're kind of out of luck. With the ceiling taken out of commission, you have to kind of, you know, what else are you going to do? So right off the bat, I knew, again, I wanted to do an off-camera flash trying to backlight everybody.
Okay.
Because I liked what was going on, and I wanted to further use my move of manual off-camera flash.
Mm-hmm.
Coupled with ETTL on-camera flash.
Okay.
And balance that out. And I figured that'd be a great way to shoot this, and it turned out that's what it was. So I got there early. That's what I recommend. Get there early on the day to just deal with any issues that come up. Scout the rooms. Make sure you know where everything's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Because the wide shot you see there, that first wide shot, that's where the reception is, where everyone comes in at the beginning, basically has a drink, does their, hey, how are ya? And then they're going to move in for dinner.
Right.
So basically for that area, what I wanted to do was set up the flash and figure out, okay, where are people going to stand? Are they going to stand by the bar? Like, where's the bar going to be? People are going to stand generally from the bar and work their way out is usually how it happens.
Now, again, would you're shooting all this with the 5D, right?
Yep.
Now, would you have been able to do it without flash?
I could have got away. I could have gotten exposure without flash. And it would have been okay. But it was a situation where I wanted to light this.
Okay. All right.
Because
and all the pictures that you've included in there are all lit, like all of them?
Every one of them.
Okay.
Well, sorry, the wide shots of the venue are not.
Right, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. But all the people shots are lit.
All the people shots that are on there are all lit, either by on-camera bounce flash or on-camera bounce plus off-camera manual.
Okay.
Yeah, so as good an ISO performer as the full-frame cameras and all the new cameras are, like as we talked about earlier, it still doesn't substitute for good lighting.
Right.
So it's nice, you know, if you have nice flat lighting or whatever it is, but if you want to shape everything, you're going to have to take matters into your own hands, and that's what I wanted to do.
Okay.
So first things first, I went and found a spot out of the way to set up my off-camera flash.
Okay.
Put it on a stand, brought sandbags. That's key.
So that no one dumps it over.
Yep, because people are going to walk into it. Does not matter where you put your flash. Someone's going to walk into it.
Okay.
Like you could suspend it from the ceiling or out over Cole Harbour and someone will, I don't know why they do it, but it happens.
And how high up is your flash mounted?
As high as I can get it. I wish it was higher. I wish because you could see how, like if you look at the wide shot of the whole venue, I'm going to say it was from the back one to third pillar probably. Maybe the second pillar in. I put it sort of in behind, I wedge it in behind there.
Okay.
Because the bulk, those tables are where the bulk of the reception took place. And so I got up as high as I could. I would have loved for it to be even higher, but there's just nowhere for it to go. It's just, you know, I like for a, like I look for a balcony sometimes if I can, or a stage, but That was not there.
And what kind of power setting are you putting on that backlight?
Very low. Because first of all, I'm going to be bouncing the flash a great distance. I know I'm not going to be able to rely on having a ton of flash, so I'm going to basically be wide open.
Yeah, and I'm thinking that if it's going to be up high on a stand, you're not going to be wanting to go back to that and change the power on that flash very often.
No. No.
So you're just kind of, you know, setting it up and just leaving it, right?
I'm setting up and leaving it. And basically, I don't remember exactly. I'm going to say I put it on as low as it would go at 1/64th power.
Okay, yeah.
Simply because you have to remember that this is an event that people are attending. This isn't a photo opportunity. Like, I'm there for them, not the other way around.
Right.
So if their party is ruined by me just, you know, blitzing the whole party, they're not going to be thrilled.
Right.
And so ultimately, I want it to be as inobtrusive.
Sure.
Okay. Inobtrusive as possible. So I put it on low power, put it up as high as I can, and I don't even aim it into the crowd. I aim it above the crowd. I just rake it across the top so that the bottom spills out onto the people.
Right.
Now, the good news is it's primarily going to be backlight. That's the main purpose for it. So I don't have to worry about exposure too much. So if people are closer to the light or further from the light, sure, it's going to fall on them, you know, it could be a different power. But I don't really care. It's not going to ruin my exposure.
Right.
So the bulk of my exposure is going to come from, you know, what little ambient there is mixed with the ETTL, which is going to be varying. No matter where I go, it's going to be varying. So that's what I did. So now I get that set up. I look at the wall on the right hand side where I figure I'm going to be bouncing most of my flash. It's going to come off that wall.
Yeah.
What can you see for a problem staring at you?
So we're looking at the wide shot.
Correct.
That it's not white.
It's not even close to white, and it is really warm. It's a weird kind of reddish brown. Which is, it's very, you know, very good looking because it's the whole wood theme in Canada and all that stuff. It fits in very well, but it's going to really warm up my white balance.
Yeah.
So I have to correct for that. Now, in retrospect, I really wish I'd had a gel for my off-camera flash just to somehow get in the ballpark. You can see a lot of the pictures that aren't black and white. Is the off-camera flash is very, very blue.
Right.
I would have gelled that. I didn't have any gels, tried to buy some, couldn't find them. So
Okay. Ultimately
didn't worry about it, just ran with it.
Right, okay.
And I just said, okay, this is how it's going to be.
Now, I have a question about the ETTL on camera when you're doing this.
Yeah.
Are you making a compensation on the ETTL? Like, are you going ETTL... minus a third of a stop or two thirds, like, because the ETTL on camera isn't it going to end up wanting to expose more than you might want to?
Yes and no. Sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. I mean, it's because you're moving all over the place and bouncing it off with many different angles. It does the best it can. It does a great job, but you're right. It ends up not always being right where you want it to be. So I found myself riding the levels constantly.
Okay.
But as I would shoot in different areas, like this entire reception part of the shoot was, I'm going to say 45 minutes, under an hour. But so relatively short amount of time, but after a few minutes, I kind of got to know certain spots on the floor. Now, this whole area, I wasn't shooting this entire area. Like, the reception basically was taking place from those white signs back to the tables.
Right, okay.
So that's where I was shooting down at that end.
And you're shooting all this with the 85, or what are you shooting?
All with the 85. I took all of my lenses. I took every lens I had just in case.
Right.
Ended up, put the 85 on, and that was it. It was doing exactly what I needed. I was shooting wide open. Anywhere from 1.8 to 2.8 probably.
Yeah.
just to make sure I was holding focus on the right number of people, and that's it. That's all I ended up needing. I was worried that the 1.8 would be difficult. The 85 would be difficult if we were in tight, like a big crowd of people.
Right.
Because it's difficult to kind of then get in close and make sure you see faces. But it ended up, for the most part, working out. And it allowed me to sort of stay back and stay out of their conversations and just pick off little candid moments.
Okay.
So when I first got there, set up the light, and I knew right away that I was going to have white balance issues. And that was just going to, I knew it was going to end up being a lot of post-production. And so I'm shooting in RAW, so that I wasn't too worried about that. But I knew it was, depending on where I bounced, if I bounced my flash off the glass to the left, going to be vastly different than off the wood.
Right.
So what I did was, you can see in the next shot, I set up my gray card in a couple of key spots throughout the room. And just,
okay.
This is you know, an hour and a half before anybody got there. And just snapped a couple of gray card photos in different scenarios with the backlight. You can see the shadow of the flowers being thrown across the card.
Yeah.
And that is with a balanced flash as well. So that's a typical situation of typical lighting situation that I was going to find myself in. So I took that as a reference for later on. I had a benchmark for what gray would look like.
It's like you've done this before.
It's like I've done this before.
Yeah.
But I went,
that's a good idea. No, the good tip right there, though.
Okay, good. Write that one down.
Yeah, absolutely. Because that's one time. Sometimes something I forget is that you know exactly. You've got a scenario where you're going to shoot like this, but it's sometimes something that it completely eludes me. And then after the fact, I'm thinking, man, why didn't I take my gray card out? Because then when you're fiddling around for an extra half hour on the computer trying to get the white balance where you want it, think, that's where I should have pulled the gray card out. You know exactly where people are going to be. So,
right.
Good tip. Do that.
Especially in this situation where you can see that right-hand wall is got not just a bunch of, you know, not just a funny surface, but it's also angled.
Yeah.
So depending on where you are shooting, you're going to get different white balance even within that room.
Right.
And so I ended up shooting multiple gray cards. I didn't bother posting them all. Because
right.
You get the idea,
but yeah, and you know where each one of those is going to pertain to when you're going through them.
That's right.
Like when you're going through an editing. No, good tip. You're tip heavy here right now. I'm gonna keep shouting out tip when I think there's going to be a tip involved.
I'll put a tip jar out and see how that works out for me. And the one positive was I knew, like, because this venue has the big glass walls. But
right.
I knew that at this time of the year, that, you know, the party starting at whatever it was, 6 or 7 or something like that, it would be dark.
Right.
So I didn't have to contend with any daylight coming in,
mm-hmm.
which A, yeah. would mess up white balance, B, would really overpower the ambient light inside, the added light. And also because it, you know, could be cloudy, sunny, it could be moving around. There's a lot of variables going on there. So I knew, thankfully, I wouldn't be having to deal with any of that.
Okay.
Downside is it would have made for a great backdrop. I mean, Stanley Park is right there. It looks fantastic. Get the mountains.
It's a very scenic area of Vancouver.
Yes. So you do end up losing that. But, oh well.
Is there a tip in there somewhere?
Try to have it at night.
So I was just going to yell tip if there was a tip.
So let's look at a couple of the pictures from the from the reception part. So here, like the first one, you're looking at number 7. We'll start at number 7.
I will look at number 7. Okay, I'm looking at number 7.
So here's a simple pose shot right in the middle. Like as I'm walking around, you know, people at this the firm here, they know me quite well.
Yeah.
And so a lot of them are happy to get their picture taken and just, you know, they will stop and ask for me to snap their photo, which is why I'm there.
Right.
Candids and these sort of, you know, posed portrait type shots. So here you can see on the left-hand side of the shot, that's actually the flash going off.
Yeah. Yeah, I was surprised you left that in, but you did it for a reason, right?
I didn't care because of the nature of it, because it's providing all that, you can see the very blue rim light it's providing. mm-hmm. on them. It's kind of unique until everybody does it, and then it's not. But compared to most, you know, most shots that these people are taking themselves, or most shots that people see, you don't often see that light in there.
Right.
So they kind of liked it. I didn't mind it at all. I like the fact that it's there. I don't purposely try to. In fact, most of the time I tried to position myself so that my subject was standing between me and the flash.
Yeah.
So that they would flag it themselves, and we get a nice rim light, wouldn't see, no lens flare, nothing like that. But sometimes the moment happens and you don't get that. You don't have the opportunity to position yourself that way. And ultimately, I didn't care. If it showed up, it showed up.
Okay.
So that's one of them.
I love the bokeh on this lens. It's just, look right between the two people, and you see that blue, nice spherical bit of blue in the bokeh. And then on the other side on her hair, you got a couple of the warmer mm-hmm. circular. Oh, it just looks so good.
They do. That is one of the great features of this lens, at the 85-1.8. And those are lights out on Cole Harbor, like Stanley Park area, that are just blown out. So
yeah. No, it looks really good.
All right, next one. We've got black and white guy in tuxedo.
Yeah, I like that one.
Now this is lit entirely by flash.
Okay.
Aside from the let me say that the back wall is actually lit by practical lights. But my subject is lit entirely by flash. On the tip of his right cheek there, that's my backlight hitting him.
Okay.
So in this case, more of a side light.
Yeah.
And then the main light coming off of him is bounced off the wall behind him.
Okay.
Now, here's the biggest part that I have to get across that you have to use in this case. Why don't you tell us what I have to use in order to get this effect?
The black foamy thing.
Black foamy thing. Oh, my God, did this thing save me.
Yeah, because I'm looking at that photo, and if you bounced it off the back wall, I'm thinking, well, how on earth did you not just completely blow out the guy beside you?
Right.
Beside your key subject in this photo, and then it hit me. It has to be the black foamy thing. That's the only way you could get that light coming back and hitting your subject's shoulder inside of his face without wrecking the person standing next to him.
Yep, I can't recommend that enough. I think we've talked about him on every third episode of the show. Neil Van Niekerk, is the one who. It's where I learned that little tip.
Yeah, I just tell people I invented it.
All right, one more photo, and then that's the end of part one for this.
Okay.
And then, the last one is guy in tuxedo by himself.
Okay, what number is that?
12.
Okay, I'm looking at it.
So this is, I think I shot this earlier in the evening at the very beginning, and again, it's all the same things that we talked about. We don't see the lens flare in this one.
Very, very different color temperature on this photo.
Yep, this one was difficult to balance. I don't know if I'd shot a gray card in this specific zone.
Seemed much warmer on the lighting on him than it was on the previous. I have to look at the previous couple.
Right.
Yeah, maybe not. Maybe it's just the angle I'm looking at it. Because there's none of that flash light coming through. It seems more obvious to me that it's a warmer tone on him. I don't know.
There's a good chance he's standing closer to the right-hand wall.
Which was the brown wall,
was the brown, yeah, the red.
Brown-orangey kind of wall.
Exactly. And so, therefore, the balance will be off a little bit. Now, in this case, what I did was I went with, I corrected in post, of course, for white balance. But I went with whatever the gray card had said, or the closest gray card. That I had shot, and then I probably tweaked it a bit. I probably took a reading off the white shirt or the pocket square or something like that, just to give a good example of what white should look like.
Again, love the bokeh on this one.
Yes, yeah, I'm also a big fan of the bokeh, and again, I would have liked to have added like a little warmth to the warming gel to the rim light.
Okay.
Not necessarily to bring it up even, you know, even if it's a half weight, so it's still a little bit blue, but this is a little bit, it's noticeable, I think.
Yeah. And I think partly that's because of the fact that the color temperature of the subject is warm, so that contrast even becomes more obvious.
Mm-hmm. There you go. So that's part one of how I shot this.
Great. And I can't wait for part two.
Well, if you hadn't shot your mouth off about the 6D for half an hour, we'd be doing that right now.
I think everybody thanks us for splitting this into two.
Yes. In fact, I wish they just with the just end it. Just stop talking.
Okay.
All right. Now, I did give you some homework.
I can't remember what it is, so pick, I probably didn't do it.
Pick a challenge for next week?
Oh, yeah. I didn't do that.
Wow.
Do you have one ready just in case?
No.
Just in case I forgot my homework?
No, because I only gave you that one thing to do.
I was super proud of myself for, remembering to upload my photo challenge and also for even posting a picture of the camera box on Facebook. So it's like I did three things.
Okay. Yeah.
The third thing, you didn't ask me what the third thing was. Third thing was I forgot to come up with a photo challenge.
Oh, that was your homework? To not?
Yeah.
I see.
Yeah. So I don't have one. You've been good. You've been, you know, on a streak lately. How about you? How about you give us one more? Oh, how about this? Shoot in a hockey rink on ISO 10,000 with your new camera.
Okay, that's not a good one.
And then figure out how to get the pictures into your computer.
Yeah, that's a little specific.
Okay. I'm out then.
Okay, Forget it. Here we go. We're going to do this because of this, you got your new camera. And we'll make this for everybody else. Shoot a picture on the highest ISO your camera will go.
Okay.
So I don't care what you're shooting a picture of. Just try to make it good.
Okay.
So I think mine will go to – and you don't have to do the H mode where it goes like okay. The extra.
All right. Yeah, because I was going to say that probably will suck.
Well, you're the one who's really thrilled with high ISO. So how high does yours go natively?
25,000 something.
There you go. You're at 25,600.
Okay, that's what it is.
That's where you're going to have to go. I believe mine goes to 6,400.
No, is that it?
Yes, is that it? God. Is that all?
Wow.
Your Ferrari only goes 200 miles an hour?
You might as well throw that thing in the trash.
Yeah, I can't believe it. Wow. What are you, a caveman? What is going on here? Wow.
All right. Only, shoot on the high ISO.
Yeah, I don't even go to 6,400 ever. I don't go above 1,600.
Well, you got to shoot more hockey rinks with that F4 lens.
I should have mentioned in the part one here of the event that I shot.
Right.
I didn't go above 1,600 in this event.
Okay.
But you would have. You'd have been at 25.6 just catting around. You'd have it pasted on your forehead. Ask me about my ISO. Hey, everybody.
I'm going to get a shirt.
That shirt will sell. So let's I'm going to pull that out of the episode and we'll just trademark that shirt.
Yeah. You want to know what was the absolute seller for me on the camera?
Yes.
Okay. Last night, I already knew I was going to buy the camera, obviously. I didn't know when, but I knew I was going to buy it. But I do you know that Fro-Nose guy? Fro-Nose Photo?
Not personally, but yes.
Yeah, you've seen his little videos and reviews and stuff. Anyways, he did a review on the 6D, and that guy loves hockey.
Oh, yeah?
So he had a full, it was like a 25 or 28-minute video, YouTube video, which, I mean, amazingly, about 20,000 people actually watched it. But the full video is shot in a hockey arena. I think it's probably an AHL team because it's pro hockey. It's just not the NHL. But taking pictures, like taking video of the game, taking pictures of the game. And it's funny. The last video I watched of that same guy was at a Philadelphia Flyers game. Again, doing all hockey stuff. So I saw that and I'm like, wow. And I saw his photos and he was shooting with the 70-200. And I saw the quality of video. And I mean, that was it. I was like, okay. I just watched 25 minutes of this.
this guy shooting in a hockey rink. Once I got the camera, it was like, I better head to the hockey rink.
I know him. I heard of him. He think he did a review of the Invisible Camera video.
Oh, really?
I think so. Yeah. Didn't see it.
He's kind of a big deal. I think he has quite a large audience.
That's what I hear. And quite a large hair.
Yeah, his hair's huge. So the fact that he likes hockey, maybe we should see if we could get that guy on the podcast.
We also, these are the things we talk about off the air.
No, I'm just thinking, yeah. You know, that's it seems like he's got a big fro and he likes hockey. What else could there be?
I'm going to try to get Brad Pitt on the show.
I thought you were going to say Clooney.
No. Pitt's a big photographer.
Really?
I don't know. Probably. Actually, no. I think he is, as a matter of fact. I was just pulling a name out, but I think he is a fan or a hobbyist or whatever.
Great.
Okay, boy. As we enter the third hour, I'm going to shut this down, Adam.
Great. Can't wait.
Next week, we'll finish up. I got more to talk about with this, the event I shot, and hopefully Adam won't do a 45-minute lead-in about how he wanted to save 10%.
No, it was awesome.
It was awesome. It did work out. It worked out for everybody.
Yeah, see, that's what you get for doing your homework.
Lesson learned. I think a lot of people had a lot of solid takeaways on this one. You are one of them. So, Adam, where can we find your new 6D photos eventually?
I don't know.
Okay.
Maybe schwartzchronicles.com, maybe Facebook. At this point, I don't know. It might be a long night for me tonight.
Okay, I meant eventually, so... Put your website out there again, Schwartz Chronicles.
Schwartzchronicles.com. It's more my wife's website, right. But my pictures are on it.
Wonderful. Way to distance yourself.
How about your stuff, Al?
AlNatridge.com, and that is my site. My wife has nothing to do with that one.
Right.
And then the two of us at twohosers.com, where you can find everything you want to know about iTunes, Facebook, Scrapbook. Do you want to do scrapbooking? That's probably a good resource.
Great.
Also,
see if we can draw this out, the finishing part.
But you can find us on our Facebook, really, is where people seem to be congregating, and Flickr and all that stuff. So all that good stuff. All right, until next week, which, hey, guess what? It's already here. Get out there and make better photos.